Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalm, Psalm 125. Hear the word of the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hand to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Our second scripture from the New Testament comes from Isaiah 35, verses 44 through 7. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy, for the water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Hear the word of our Lord. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands upon him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come on this day and we ask that your word would guide our hearts, our minds, and our bodies as we seek to serve you. We ask, Lord, that you will be with us in the days to come, that your word would guide us and strengthen us for whatever trials and challenges come our way, and help us to be your people in this world. Help us to lead your people to you. In your name we pray. Amen. In the past, week, last week, we saw Jesus tear down the view between what is clean and what is unclean. And as I sat down and looked at my food this week, I started thinking about that a little bit. But then I thought about this as I read my scriptures, thinking about how this personally influences who I am. And I want you to think of who you are in a 23andMe or Ancestry.com sort of way. Who makes you what you are? Your ancestors, your lineage. That all is going to play a part in our scripture today. Because remember, we, in the people in Jesus' time's eyes, are Gentiles. We would be in the feet with that Syrophoenician woman. We've seen Jesus be scandalizing. We've seen him talk about how his disciples are doing nothing wrong to the Pharisees and scribes, because the scribes and Pharisees love the law of God that they have created more than they love God. We've seen him not exactly have the most welcoming reception in his home region of Nazareth. But then he takes a surprising geographic turn and goes up into Gentile territory, up in Tyre. Now, Tyre has an interesting relationship with Israel. It's always been there in the north. It was a major trade port with a long streak of independence and being its own city-state. They were known as one of the first peoples to navigate using the stars. They were a region promised to the people of Israel, specifically the tribe of Asher. But Asher never took possession of that land. When God commanded the people to go into the land, take possession of it, they failed. Each tribe was given a region, and this was one of the prime areas, great lands, beautiful land, like Hudson Valley type land, with all the greenery, all of the farms. It was a great area for Asher. But Asher couldn't take it. And then for years, there's this antagonistical relationship between the people around Tyre, the Phoenician people, and Israel. To say they have history is a bit of an understatement. And here goes Jesus to a people that on the surface, he seems to have nothing in common with. Sure, there was friction between he and Pharisees and scribes, but in the end, they were the same people. Tyre is not home turf. It's not a home game for Jesus. Despite all of the issues he faces, he's at least dealing with many familiar pieces in Galilee, Nazareth, and Judea. Jesus is going to have to dig deeper when he speaks to the people of Tyre, when he goes to the Gentiles there. Some would speculate that Jesus goes there so he can be or attempt to be anonymous and quietly recoup and unstress his day. But if you watch, there's this element to which Jesus can go wherever he's going to go to try and gain a little peace of mind. But it's like when you have little kids in the house, they'll find you wherever you are. Jesus tries to enter the house with no fanfare, just to be Jesus, Mary and Joe's son. He tries to do that, but what happens? Word travels. Word follows him. And then a woman a woman whose daughter is possessed by a demon. And without even skipping a beat, she kneels down before this man and asks him to heal her daughter. I want you to think about how controversial this moment is for her and for Jesus. This is a Syro-Phoenician woman who is going to a Jew and asking him to heal her daughter. The people of Tyre and that region had their own gods. She is going to this man to heal her daughter. She is clearly going and giving her faith that was away. But what is more is, here's Jesus, the Messiah, with this Gentile woman before him. Knowing all of the history and expectation of negative relationships that exist between his people and her people, this is a moment where people are uncomfortable with what's going on. We would expect Peter to say, Jesus, you've got a phone call. You know, that thing we do when we try and pull somebody out of an uncomfortable situation. But instead, there's this moment of religious banter between this woman and Jesus, where Jesus points out to her details and talks to her about what needs to happen. Now, when we read this, we don't like him making that reference to dogs, do we? We don't like Jesus putting this woman off a little bit. It's not a nice thing. This isn't necessarily how we experience Jesus. We experience the love and compassion of Christ. We don't like seeing this. But we interpret a lot into this conversation. And if you look at the Greek, the word dog is one word of dog is dog in English, right? One word. Do we have another word for a small little lap dog like Omi? Tell Omi I gave her a shout out. A little tiny lap dog? We don't have a separate word. It's a dog. The word here in Greek is that of a lap dog. Not like a big monster like, you know, Rizzo and Negan dog, but a little tiny dog. One you probably have near your side who you might slip a little bit of food down to. This is not the relationship of the wild dogs that would have been out in the community, but more of a family dog, the early vestiges of a pet in some families. Now, does that really do away with our dis-ease about Jesus likening an entire people to even a lap dog? Not really. But instead of getting caught up in the image used, we need to look at more what is being said. What is being said is that first, the children need to be fed. First, the children need to be fed. And then the next step can be taken. Is Jesus calling her a dog or using an image here? What Jesus is doing is not talking about food as food, but talking about the gospel and where it is going. First, it starts with the children of Israel, and then it will go the next step. The greater step. Jesus is not refusing to heal this woman's daughter, but is letting her know the greater plan. The plan that is spelt out and set out. Instead of Jesus saying, "Lady, get out of here," he could have said that. He uses this example to explain to her, "Ma'am, my plan, my goal, my mission is to first the people of Israel. We'll get to you." It's like that point at customer service where everybody's trying to get that person's attention, and you have to do as Barbara does. "Hold on. Wait a minute. Give me a second." This conversation, this interplay is not at all about a refusal to heal a girl, but about Jesus pointing out that there is a plan. There is going to be a plan. But despite that plan, Jesus, because he's Jesus, deviates from the plan. He doesn't say, "Ma'am, Paul will get here in about 20 years. That work?" No. No. Instead of putting her off till tomorrow, instead of saying, "Not now, but later," he still heals her. She shows her faith. She persists in her faith. When we see this, we need to also remember what is on the line for all involved. Jesus might be rejected by the Jews for what he is doing for this woman. This woman might be rejected by her community for going to Christ. And yet, in this beautiful banter back and forth, Jesus reaches out. This moment is about patience. Jesus here is preaching patience to the woman, to wait. Your time, your people's time will come. But we as people aren't patient. We want what we want, and we want it now. We don't want to wait till a package comes. We want to get it right now. I remember at one point before a trip, Liam was getting so upset because he was trying to download a movie. I think it was a Star Wars movie. That's actually a safe bet. And he keeps on going, "Huh, it's not done." 2 minutes later, "Huh, it's not done." Meanwhile, Sarah and I are laughing. We're laughing because we remember the old 14.4 dial-up modems. And this is light years faster. The fact is, we are not patient. We make things faster and faster and faster until fast still isn't good enough. Jesus is deliberate in action, deliberate in path. His message will go to Tyre. His message will go to the peoples, the Goths, and all the other tribes throughout Europe, Africa, and Asia. Christ will go. But there is a greater program and plan at work. He must return and walk the path to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the tomb, to the resurrection. Could he, if he wanted, take a side road all along the Mediterranean? Sure. He's Jesus. But the fact is, he is sticking to the plan. And yet, even in this moment, his compassion comes through. In this moment, Jesus shows us the open door that will be. The open door that we and our ancestors will walk through one day. Remember, I asked you to think about this in terms of a 23andMe perspective or ancestry.com. The reality is none of us have huge ties to that original population of Judea, Galilee, and Nazareth, do we? Most of us are descended from Gentiles of one form or other. Our ancestors, we are part of the body of Christ because of moments like this. This is hope for us. This is us seeing that the door is there for us to walk through, to know and to love and be loved by God. Our lesson, brothers and sisters, is to remember that that door is open, to remember that Christ came, not just for the people of Judea, Galilee, and Nazareth, but to all the people that would come to him. We need to remember that everyone we meet is potentially like that woman in our lives. Everyone we meet. Everyone is a person waiting to follow Christ. Everyone can be a child of God in God's house. And so as we go forth, brothers and sisters, may we go forth in the comfort and joy and knowledge that this world is called to God. And we are the bearers of that gospel, that message. Go forth. Amen.